Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
Yeah. Welcome, Holy Spirit.
Welcome.
Welcome, Spirit of Glory. Welcome, Spirit of Resurrection. As we give all praise and glory to the risen Savior, the Lamb of God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, Alpha and Omega, Lily of the Valley, Bright and Morning Star. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our healer. We bow to your majesty, Lord, your King. You are the King of glory. We bow before your majesty. You are the awesome Lord of hosts. Mighty millions and billions of angels follow your presence. Welcome, Holy Spirit, as we exalt the name of the King of Glory. There's no one like him. No one like him. Raise the flag of Jehovah Nissi, Lord, across the nations, over this nation. Lord, every other spirit bow to the name of Jesus. Every spirit of Antichrist has to bow to the name of Jesus. Every demonic spirit of witchcraft has to bow to the name of Jesus. Every lying spirit has to bow to the name of Jesus. Every spirit of infirmity and disease has to bow to the name of Jesus. Every spirit of cancer and stroke has to bow to the name of Jesus. We give praise to you, Lord, Lamb of God. Hallelujah. To you belongs worship and praise and glory and might and honor and riches and blessing. Glory to God. Give him great applause. Give him a big clap offering. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes. And streams of resurrection glory already flowing from the presence of the Lord. I just want you to know. We would say, be it unto you, us, according to your word, Lord, and his presence and his glory and his river is flowing here tonight. So be refreshed. Receive. I want every bit of my molecular body, every atomic particle of me and you receiving. Be in a receiving mode and we receive from the glory. We reject every demonic spirit. We reject spirits of darkness. We reject every lying spirit, and we receive the spirit of truth, the spirit of glory, and say, we are so honoring you, Lord, Lamb of God. Praise God. Take your neighbor's hand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's say after me, if you will, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. Now give him another big clap offering. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Yeah. I'm receiving, Lord. Yeah. Yeah. You're worthy, Lord, for what you are doing in this nation. You are worthy, Lord, for what you are doing in every nation on earth. You are worthy, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. The enemy is defeated through the blood of Jesus, through the mighty name of Jesus. We have the victory. You have the victory. Turn to your neighbor, say, you have the victory. Tell your other neighbor, the enemy is defeated. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Yeah. Amen, amen, amen. I feel the victory and presence of God here tonight. Yes, he's here. He is here, he is here. Praise God. And testimony is one of the portals of glory. You may sit down. Hallelujah.
Where are you? Harry, right? Is it Harry?
Harris.
Come up here, both of you. I wanted them, Stephen, if you can give them, Craig, you can give them the mic. Come up. And this happened last time I was here. They shared with me. I think it was last time. Introduce yourselves. Tell them who you are.
I'm Harris Balco. This is my wife, Diane. We're music professors, retired. And I was just telling Dr. Chavda of what our experience. It was in 2010. May I take time to tell
you? Sure.
It was in 2010, January, I think it was the 17th of January. I direct our church choir. Diane plays violin. She's a professional violinist. We're from Superior, Wisconsin, and she was concertmaster of the Duluth Superior Symphony for 39 years.
Wow.
It's a record for a woman. And so there was, that Sunday in January, the choir was not singing, so we were down in the pews. After the sermon, there was a hymn to be sung. We were singing the hymn. Diane kept turning the pages of the hymnal, and I thought she didn't know what the hymn was. So I tilted my hymnal to show her which one we were singing. I pointed to it. She kept turning the pages. And finally, I just said quietly to her, "Are you all right?" And she turned to me and she said, "Yes," but she had a droop. She had just had a stroke. And to make a longer story short, Monday morning, we finally went to emergency because she said, "I feel fine," but she wasn't fine. We finally went to emergency and they did a CAT scan and she had a bleed out right here in this part of her brain. And they didn't know what the cause was. It just a blood vessel broke or something, but she had a bleed out. Well, when that happens on the right side, the left side is affected. So, yeah, we went home after we got out of emergency. And as was Diane's habit every day, she put in 2 hours on the violin. It didn't work. The left hand could not find its position on the string. It was awful. But Diane being Diane, she started from the beginning. Slow scales. I went to the back room. But she didn't give up. That's how persistent this lady is. Well, the doctors told her, you know, we don't know how long this, you may regain this, you may not regain it. Besides not being able to play the violin anymore, she had lost all sense of time. She didn't know the sequence of things to get herself ready in the morning. Then on top of that, she became incontinent and running around with a droop on her face. And then it was the first part of February, we went to Lutheran Renewal. And And we had just come in the door at Luther Renewal, and we saw Paul Anderson. And we knew Paul and Karen. And he greeted us, and I said, Paul, I said, Diane's had a stroke. And I said, would you pray for her? He says, of course I would. Paul prayed for her, and we felt very comforted and encouraged. We just felt like she was going to get help at Luther Renewal. That was in February, about a month later, wasn't it? Yeah. And then that Mahesh Chavda was the speaker. And after Mahesh's talk, which was wonderful, he said, I have a word from the Lord that he wants to heal backs today. If any of you have back problems, come forward. And I told Diane, I said, we don't have back problems, but we're going forward. And on the way up to the front of the church, Paul and Karen were coming back down the aisle. And I stopped to Paul. I said, is it all right to go up? He said, go for it. So we went forward, and Mahesh was just going down the line, because we were late getting up there, because there were so many people. And people were falling, and he was laying hands on them and so on. And I called out to him. I said, my wife's had a stroke. And he just wheeled like this, and without even seeing where he was looking, his hand touched her forehead, right where she had the bleed out. And down she went. I caught her. She lay on the floor, and I held her there in my arms for about 15 minutes, and then she sort of came around, and we got up. And, well, then what did you feel there, Diane? Right.
I said, I know I've been healed, because I felt all this activity in my brain.
Yeah.
And I said, I've been healed. So it was a wonderful experience.
Yeah, and I... Well, we stayed for the rest of the conference, and I looked at her. I said, you've been healed? Because this is a skeptic. See, I was raised in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And they don't believe any of this stuff, you know? So anyway, we stayed for the rest of the conference, and then we went home. Diane picked up her violin. The first thing she did, it was like it had never happened. She was just...
Amen. Amen. Give them a clap, will you?
Play into this.
Bless you.
Amen. We will stop there. Glory to God. I wanted you to just hear, and we'll get the lights back. I wanted to put this in context. And so even tonight, the same healing stream is coming. God wants to, I just want to tell you, I've never sensed that the river and the stream so anxious to burst forth his glory over this nation and over the nations of the earth. It is the set time of favor has come. And I want you guys to be part of the emissaries. The God wants to commission you to carry this stuff out there, that God wants to bless you with the rivers of healing and just revival and the miracle glory of God to come over you. You saw this, and we have continued to have hundreds of awesome, wonderful stories of stage 4 cancers autism. We had last Sunday, I got a text, Bonnie and I both got a text from a dear friend in Chicago who, they were at Wrigley Fields. Something had went to baseball. This Nancy of Hub Ministries in Chicago was heads up a wonderful movement there. And she said, we saw a couple who ran up to us, and they said she had twin boys that were autistic, that were nonverbal. And she said, I just want to thank you. You brought Brother Mahesh to Chicago, and I brought my kids who were twins who were 4 years old, and they were autistic. And the both of those twins were healed that day. And this is a few years ago. So anyway, the streams keep on going. The stage four cancers, we have had so many wonderful streams of healing. Now, all of it is to the glory of the Lamb of God. It's because of Jesus who took our pains and our sicknesses on the cross. And by his stripes, as scripture says in Isaiah, in 1 Peter, on and on, it demonstrates through the Bible, by his stripes, we were healed. And God wants to manifest and continue that manifest with the power of the Holy Spirit, the awesome risen power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Say, he is risen.
He is risen.
And it is not just words we are speaking. It is backed up with the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of glory. So this, we are gathering here to celebrate and honor the second major feast during the Hebrew calendar. We have the feast of Passover, but 50 days later you have the feast of Pentecost. This is when they received in the Old Testament the Word of God, but on the day of Pentecost. Therefore, in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, I will read them out to you, because this is tonight we are honoring the day, that season of Pentecost, where God in the Old Testament had told the children of Israel, gather together, have a convocation, and honor the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and celebrate together who I am to you. And they are, therefore, it was on a day of Pentecost. And then we have uniquely in the New Testament, after Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and then the ascension 40 days after resurrection. But then he tells them, and I will read, may read to you the scriptures. In fact, I will read to you the scriptures in Acts, the book of Acts, where Jesus, as the disciples are assembled together, he commanded them. By the way, as Harris and Diane, they are, as you heard, she was, they were concert masters in Michigan, I think Duluth, and yeah, and but they were also in Minnesota. But she is part with a symphony player. All of, just think, she's played that, and then the stroke took that away, and then the Spirit of glory came, the exact place where the bleeding was, and healed her instantly. Glory to God. So that was the story of that wonderful. But it is, this word is for you and for me. Say, it's for me. It's for my family. It's for my neighbor. It's for now. So it's not just history. So as we share, I want you to step through the portals of glory and step into revelation glory, and let this come as awesome power released in your life, in your children's life. Tonight I sense God is healing stroke. There is autism being healed, just like that was, God was, if there are people who have members in their family who are challenged in the area of autism, just wave your hand where you are right now. And I am just releasing that Spirit of glory to touch this people. Who is it, a child involved? Who is the, that your granddaughter? How old is she? 12. What about, is how old? 20. Okay. 9 today. How about that? We're going to ask the Lord to give him a birthday present in the name of Jesus. What is his name? Austin. Yeah, that's one of my favorite places to go every year. Austin, Texas. Austin is a very favorite one of my. So we send the glory to Austin. Whatever that blockage is, that's going to be gone, that he is going to get that miracle in Jesus' name. Is there someone here that has had challenge, or son has challenged, and he is here right now? All right. Well, we are going to just bless him right now, and later I will lay hands on him, okay? Hallelujah. I want one of the healing team members to just go up there, lay hands on our young friend there. Praise God. Hallelujah. I think God is up to something already tonight. And there is someone watching us in the hospital room. There's one. There's someone who is, we are going to agree with coma right now. Who has that coma challenge? Is there someone here that has, but someone who is watching their family members in a coma, and someone else who has had some surgery right now, and you are in recovery. We just pray now the full recovery in Jesus' name. In fact, is there someone who has been in an accident, some kind of trauma? Because I just see some trauma being healed from an accident. Is that your brother-in-law? Okay, what city is he in? Phoenix. I'm going there next week. How about that? You can tell one of the family members if he is not out to come and see me by that time. We're going to see something manifested. And over there, there's someone in a coma. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to let that glory just go start going through you right now. And our healing team members right there, they're going to lay hands on you. And we're going to receive the full glory. You guys, just minister to them in Jesus' name. And I just want a couple of healing team members over there. And then the others go back, because we may have some more need of some other, where I will send you right now, because God, I think, he is exploding. I just bow. Glory to God. Anyway, so we're going to get in the word for a moment. Anyway, praise God. And the Lord, as he's resurrected and he is right now, before his ascension, he tells the disciples, he tells them, command them, do not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. So it is important for us to at least do some basic obedience to his word. Do something there that we are obeying his word, that we are cooperating to some degree. We are in congruence with God's instructions. Here is the risen Savior himself saying, hey guys, I want you to wait here, and I'm going to pour out, and I'm going to give you the promise of the Father. He said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized. Say baptized. With the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. That is fully immersed. It is not just, which I don't mind. You saw me in that service, I was the miracle for Harris and Diane happened at a major Lutheran conference, and that asked me to do the main service that night for the Lutheran convocation. And so they do a different kind of baptism than my tradition. It doesn't matter. I'll tell you, the Lord is the Lord. He's ready to zap people. His name, the thing I found on this journey is, he is one of his other additional names I've added is Jehovah Zappa, the Lord who zappeth thee. So we get so involved in little things, and God is woof, coming in a mighty way to all the needy people who are crying out for his mercy. So we're not hung up on denominational labels. what was it? Just a little while back, I was asked to go to a wonderful gathering of Catholics and Protestant coming together, convocation. And that is, and in fact, we have gotten an invitation to something major happening with the Catholics and Protestants later on this year. So there is something stirring in the nation. And I want to get you to encourage you to get in the flow. Don't get hung up on little things. Don't get into little poisonous tributaries of bitterness, unforgiveness, gossip, all of that. God is calling you to something more awesome and greater. Let the blood of Jesus cover the minor things. All right? Forgive. Tell your neighbor, forgive. So you may not know what they need to forgive. Let's go on. Because there is something more than awesome that we have not seen. I'll tell you, we are seeing it more and more every day. God says, you haven't seen anything yet. So tell your neighbor, you haven't seen anything yet. So I'm ready for bigger things, greater things, more awesome things for you, for me, for this church, for the nations, for this city, for the state, for your family today. Great things. Say great things. And it's because of Jesus, not because of me or any other person here, but it's the Lord Jesus who's promised, hey, the promise of the Father is going to come upon you, and you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And you shall receive, verse 8 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth. And then that's when I just want to get to reading that and then put it in context for you, because I don't think we have yet by faith received the enormity of the power that God wants to release over his church, over you, over the nations. And it is imperative. It's almost like on one hand, God says, hey, it is time to phone my 911. And I'm ready to send my angels. And I'm ready to send. But your part is to pick up the phone and say, God, I'm calling your 911. So, but let me, I'm going ahead of myself. It says in chapter 2. I want you to see it there, and then we want to put it in the context of what it really means historically. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Say in one accord, in one place. That's why God emphasizes, don't look at the things that we major in the minors. And God, that is one area that we need to ask forgiveness of the Lord. Give up the small things. Give up the minor offenses, okay? That's why we already prepared you for it by taking communion. And communion is an awesome opportunity for you to release the miracle power of God to get out the spirit of offense, the spirit of bitterness, any barrier. And listen, some of you, and a lot of us, go through stuff that you have every right to have some kind of offense, some kind of hurt. You have been abused, you have been maligned, or you have been a victim of prejudice or bigotry or whatever it is, or a partner betrayed you. You have but God said, I do not want you to wallow in the bitter juices right now. You are have a bigger call than that. You're going to come out of that stuff and get healed, because I have destiny for you. I have purpose over your life. I have a calling over you, and I have a calling over my church. So he is in one place, in one accord. The more we come together, more and more, in a larger complex, at one place, in one accord, in unity. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, one set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. This is a result of the awesome universe-shaping event at Calvary, where the Son of God took upon himself the sins and the iniquities of all of mankind and the curses, and took the pains and the sicknesses. He died, he was buried, and on the third day he was resurrected. Then he stayed with his disciples and sharing with them, teaching them for 40 days. And then he ascended. But the ascension last week, if you were here Sunday, I talked about how we have really not received the full extent. And I've heard few teachings on the amazing significance of the ascension of Jesus Christ. As he ascends, then he is now able to pour out as he sits at the right hand in full authority of the right hand of the Father. He is now able to pour out the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father. Say the promise of the Father. And that the promise leads you into the full promises, all the promised land provision. The promises of God are yours through your faith in Lord Jesus Christ, and then through that, then receiving the gift of the Spirit, the promise of the Father. So from the ascension is the release of Pentecost. So, and then Peter, in a few moments after that, is standing up there before thousands of a multitude of people gathered and explains to them what is happening and what is about to happen. But what Pentecost is our version, the original thing it happens is, it was after Exodus, as the people, children of Israel, have been released from slavery. We are on a journey of fullness and fulfillment. You are no longer slaves. Often we have to be delivered from a slave mentality and then brought and be transformed. Not only our souls, our spirit, there is tonight here even a spirit of transformation for you. Not only your, number one, your soul, your spirit, but not only yourself, but transformation for homes, for marriages, for families. Transformation. Say transformation. And it is supernatural transformation. It is an idea that will come. I want to give you just a little bit of an idea of what that means. When you take a little creepy crawly creature, a caterpillar, and then feed it some leaves and watch it, and it turns into the pupa stage or the imago, and it stays still for a few days or whatever. Suddenly wings come out, and then a beautiful butterfly emerges from that creepy crawly caterpillar. That is what the Bible calls metamorphosis. And it is the Holy Spirit, supernatural life of the glory of Jesus that comes over you and transforms you. And so even tonight, that energy is coming over us as individuals, as marriages, as husbands and wives, as families. And then, therefore, then the Spirit wants to come to transform through the church of Jesus then. The power, the prayer, the praise, the worship. He wants to project the Spirit of glory over, and the mantle of glory over cities. We, our families in the millions, our families have been devastated, even in America, by the power of addiction, drugs or alcohol or awful oppressions over families, mental and spiritual oppression. These as we have a desperate need. It is not just that we are hungry for more, but God is totally anxious to pour out His Spirit afresh over our nation so our cities would be healed. As I travel all over, I'm seeing more than ever the multiple thousands of broken lives and broken homes and therefore broken children. And only the Lord and the Spirit of revival can heal it. But I'm seeing also the miracles where God is saying, I'm right here. If my people call by my name will humble themselves and turn to me and release my glory. So this spirit that we are talking about in this today, therefore this season, this is called Pentecost, or among the Hebrew people then, it's called Shavuot. It is what the name Shavuot is, the feast of Shavuot, the feast of weeks, or, they're Pentecost. It says on the sixth day of the Hebrew month of Sivan, when they would celebrate the Pentecost, their wheat harvest would be there. And it's mentioned in Exodus 34:22. And then this is then there. So when they celebrate the Jewish Pentecost called Shavuot, what they're looking back to, they are celebrating there. I mean, among the Jewish congregations, the official, I believe the date would be, I think it's on 30th, 31st, in 4 days, the official Jewish Shavuot is, that's in the Jewish congregations, they would celebrate that. But this is the wheat harvest was brought in Israel traditionally at this time in the ancient days. And it's the day when the children of Israel now are freed up from slavery, as you see in the book of Exodus. And it is what frees them up, by the way. It's not that the Pharaoh was feeling good that day. And, I just feel so generous today. God said, if you don't do this, you're going to just make my day. Anyway, I'm thinking of several Clint Eastwood sayings. You know, in those scenes where Clint would go ahead, make my day. That's right. That's what God told Pharaoh. Go ahead, make my day. He said, I feel led to let the people go. So he let the people go. But it was through in the final session, when they took the lamb, and took its blood, put it at the doorposts and little, and then the angel of death passed over, Passover. That's when he said, I will let the people go. So they're freed, and they're freed not only from slavery, but from the curses of Egypt, from the poverty. They had been in slavery 400 years, and they came out with silver and gold, and not one feeble in their midst. So they came out blessed, but they were going to then get greater blessing. Because on the 50th day then, God gives them, He shows them glory. And He gives them, from the glory, He gives them the Torah. So you see, in Exodus, let me read it to you. Often we restrict our perspective on Pentecost very much from a Christian traditional way, whereas the right interpretation for us is to get a greater perspective of the Spirit, awesomeness of the Spirit of glory. We have put religious boundaries around things. If you have heard in some certain traditions, you almost get, well, this is the 10 theological reasons why Jesus does not heal today. So if your child is in hospital, is dying, too tough, I'm sorry, He does not do that. You should have caught the apostles about 2,000 years ago, but they're dead. So he doesn't, Now that was all nonsense. And as we, God, we are saying every day, God, give us breakthrough miracle. Because He is today just as alive. He is risen and He is Lord. Glory. So, Exodus 19. Here, so what the Jewish perspective of receiving the Torah, that this is the time on Pentecost is when the God weds Himself to the Jewish people. It's almost like a wedding ceremony. God just so wonderful. He loves His people. And He gives Himself to them. And the children of Israel, if in that context then, if you look at Exodus 19 verse 5, says, "Now therefore, if you'll obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." And then in verse 8, "And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord had spoken, we will do." See, so the Lord says, you know, just like a wedding ceremony, "We will do this, and I will do this." And it's a commitment to each other. Exodus in 19, in the verse 14, "And Moses went down from the mount into the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes." Now, in the Jewish wedding ceremony, one of the things the wife, the bride does is wash herself. So this is just like that. And verse 18, "Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by a voice." So you see here some of the manifestation. There is, it's like the mountain is on fire. It's like a furnace. And there is smoke. Where there is smoke, there is fire. And there is big sound that makes the whole mountain tremble. And it goes on that there is a shofar sound. "And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the mountain, up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up." And Exodus, another one. Exodus 24, 17. You don't have to go there, I'll just read it out to you. "And the sight of the glory," this is on Pentecost, "was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got himself up into the mount, and Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. So as we look now on the day of Pentecost, you'll get an idea. This is even better promises being fulfilled. This is even greater meaning. Here is the literal presence of God comes. And as it comes, by the way, Exodus 34, in fact, verse, the whole thing. While in this, over the next few days, if you want to kind of wallow in this glory atmosphere, read in detail Exodus 33 and 34, because this is where the Lord says to him, Exodus 33. And Moses says to the Lord, "Show me your glory." And he said, "I will make my goodness pass before you." This is 33. "And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. And thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord shall," and said, "Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock." So he tells him, "Move here, move by this rock." And as he does so, then the glory comes. "And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I'll put thee in a cleft of the rock, and cover thee with my hand which I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." So, this is, in fact, if you see, I mean, unless God himself protects you, you'll become smoke. It's such awesome. Say awesome. Awesome. That's the glory of the Lord. So you are talking about some of the most amazing events in the Bible that are real. Say, this is real. And there were times then on my journey, personal, that there were times where the presence of the Lord has come. And Bonnie will tell you, there were, for 22 years, the Lord just gave me a gift to fast. And so I would fast 2 times a year, 40 days, only on water. And just I had the supernatural strength. And then 21-day fast each year for 22 years. And the glory would come. And I had some of the most amazing experiences. But when you are on the glory, I just want you to know that there is no greater joy and delight. There is no words you can describe that in human language, the utter, and then the Catholic saints would speak a little about that, and the nearest word that would say, some of the, I used to love to read some of the Catholic saints, but some of the experiences with the it was with the glory of the Lord, and it's often they would call it ecstasia, that it's pure, where every ounce of your being is in complete joy or ecstasy. But that's being around the glory. So one of the things, when you are around the presence, and as we talk about the glory of the Lord, one thing I pray that you will have a revelation is never, ever be afraid as a believer in Jesus, as you fall in love with him more and more. Never, ever be afraid of death, because death is a stepping stone. You go into the next room that's packed out with glory. And it's so much fun. It's so awesome. So never be afraid of making that transition. Okay, there have been a couple of times where I thought I was going to. And I was filled with laughter. And I got drunk. And it seemed that's insane. Are you crazy? No. I've had a little bit of a peek into experience the glory. And so as Moses is around the glory of the Lord, it says, and they did not realize that, I mean, he had to cover his face when he was around the people, because it's verse 35, for example, Exodus 34, verse 35. "And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went to speak with him." So when we are around the presence, he was so energized, and the presence of the wonderful virtue and love of God would shine literally like golden, powerful light that would be blazing out of it, that you would say, ooh, almost like that. So he had to put a veil. It wasn't Moses. It was the presence of the Lord over Moses. Now, that's some of the stuff that I want to say. This is what we celebrate then on the day of Pentecost. The canopy of glory came on his church. And suddenly, so remember now, in, they say, what did he, remember, the fire came. Remember the sound. And here, when the day of Pentecost came and they were gathered, suddenly there came a sound from heaven. You go back to Exodus. The sound shook Mount Sinai. And this is the sound. And I was, if you read my book, Only Love Can Make a Miracle. By the way, talking about Protestant Catholics and all, it was, that book was a result, I don't get, ever get tired of saying, it was a Catholic publishing house, charismatic Catholic public, in 80, I forget now whether 87, so they phoned me and said, God told us we have to publish your book. And I said, what book? I said, well, the Lord said, we have to publish your book. We don't know about it. And that's how the Lord spoke me, to be through the Catholics, saying, finish that book. They're hearing right. And that has been translated in 40 languages and gone all over the world. It is famous in former Soviet Union, now in Russia. Our name is well known in a lot of these remote places because of that voice that they heard. Anyway, the sound in that book, by the way, I talk about being in what they referred to as the biggest tornado ever to visit on U.S. land. And I was right in the middle of it. And an angel came and protected me. That, you know, I'd give the full story. But the sound of that tornado, I was inside the middle of it. And it... Or how many of you have been in a hurricane? Some of... And have you gone outside and been crazy enough to go outside just to... Yeah, we have. It was... Hurricane Andrew was... It was a birthday of my daughter, Sarah. And we went and up a little bit higher into Florida. And we were in Fort Lauderdale. And one of the guys who had lived in Florida for many years said, okay, we can open this side of the door and just peek outside. And we were hearing the wind. And the sound of the rushing wind is just amazing. And that's what they heard on the day of Pentecost. The sound of a mighty rushing wind. And all of Jerusalem knew something was happening. And then supernatural fire. Tongues of fire. And you saw the fire. So the fire and the sound, it was the Spirit of glory coming. And they were filled on. Say, fill. Hallelujah. And the glory filled them. That is the difference. The glory was around them in the Old Testament. Now, the glory comes because of the awesome, wonderful, precious blood of Jesus Christ. I don't have to feel, Lord, I'm not worthy. Well, I'm not worthy. But the blood of Jesus makes you worthy. So I am so grateful every time I take communion. It makes me so humble. Thank you, Lord. Through this blood, I am worthy to receive His blessing and His glory. So today, I just want you to know, don't let the devil tell you, well, I am not worthy to receive blessing. I have made a mess, Lord. Yes, God knows more of the messes you made than even you do. But sometimes we get religious self-righteousness is not good. Because often, well, I'm not worthy. No, the blood makes you worthy. The blood makes me worthy. Tell your neighbor, the blood makes you worthy. And that's the shed blood of Jesus tonight. And because of that, our children can be healed. Our grandchildren today can be healed. Our families can be healed. You can receive. Hallelujah. And this is the miracle glory. And so they are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And as the glory came down, we receive on Pentecost. God wants to reaffirm today that we are receiving and we can receive a fresh outpouring of the Spirit of glory. And you can be filled. Say filled. And on tonight, I am praying a fresh infilling come over us, over you, to commission you, to bless you. We can receive the Spirit that makes you a prophetic vehicle of the Lord, that you can receive destiny and purpose and commissioning, that you become tonight. God wants to recommission to become a carrier of His grace, become a carrier of His healing, become a carrier of His glory and His mercy and His power. You find immediately after that you see, Peter's sermon, and he says, this is what you're seeing, the thousands gather, what? Because God Himself has made a commotion of a mighty tornado, that's like Mount Sinai, and then fire coming down, and the thousands gather, and then Peter stands and tells them, this is that which was spoken by the prophet. This is that. I love that. This is that. Say, this is that. What Prophet Joel said, in the last days, I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And so you are going to prophesy. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And we need to release that spirit of prophecy in a way that shapes things around us. That you can prophesy over your family. You prophesy over your children. You prophesy over your neighborhood. We want to prophesy even tonight over Charlotte, over Fort Mill, over Rock Hill, over our area, over Charleston, over Carolina, South and North Carolina. We're to prophesy. But that prophetic power changes that city. Some of our cities are riven with violence, with drug cartels and drug addictions. And we have multiple millions of our kids being challenged by the yoke of darkness, become victims for smallest things. There are whole generations of kids who are taken there, some of them, multiple thousands in prisons because they messed around with drugs. And then it is not their destiny to be in prison. They need to be out there fulfilling their calling. And so we prophesy to them that that generation will not be lost. that they'll come out, that they have destiny. So we, God wants to raise us up together, individually, and together to be a prophetic people that will prophesy where things will happen, where the prophet Elijah said, this, your house, oil will not stop. The flour will not cease. And you know what? The oil did not cease. The flour kept multiplying. And there will be a supply. So we can prophesy over people who have, where they have been fighting the spirits of poverty, that we can prophesy, this yoke is broken. Because what? The anointing breaks the yoke. Say, the anointing breaks the yoke. But you are the carrier of the anointing, the church of Jesus Christ. You are a carrier. And we want to energize each other and help each other and inspire each other and commission. Now, receive that commissioning. I'll tell you, I'm receiving fresh fire. Even tonight, fire is coming. I want you to put your hand out and say, Lord, let the fire come. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Sharabaki. I started seeing gold start falling here tonight. Thank you, Father. Let that gold start coming over you. The golden glory is being coming back to the church. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. And by faith, I receive for my house. I receive for my children. I receive for the church. And we want to prophesy. Praise God. Hallelujah. That you are becoming a carrier of God's glory and grace. And then Peter gives all, he gives all credit. And he says, men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried. Therefore, being a prophet, he spoke about Christ, who would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, that's the ascension, and having received from the Father the promise of the Spirit, he poured out this which you see now and hear. So you see now the fire on each head and hear the sound of the mighty rushing wind. And then they are praying in tongues that they could understand different things. For David did not ascend into heaven, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Repent and let everyone be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. For the promise is to you and to your children. Say, the promise is to me and to my children and to all who are far off. And you see then, I mean, I don't want to go anymore. But as they went, Peter and John went to the temple early. I don't know whether it was the next morning. And they saw a crippled man fixing his eyes on him with John. Peter said, look at us. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he went walking and leaping and praising God. Remember that song? They now became the carriers of this power. They were not only receiving, but they were giving. Say, receiving. Giving. Tonight we receive a fresh commissioning from the Lord to not only receive, and this is, I mean, we're going to prophesy over every aspect of our lives and then the life of our church, our city, and our nation, that we get back what the enemy has stolen. That was one of the big words we got. Do not take what the enemy is telling us to just stay still. God told David, and he's telling us, recover all. Full recovery. Say full recovery. And we will destroy them. The anointing comes to destroy the, to break the anointing. And the oil of the Holy Spirit comes for commissioning us like it commissioned David. So, I am sensing the Lord's fire coming afresh on us. Hallelujah. And the whole one other reference, and I want to release it over you and your house. And it said, somewhat similar scenario. And it said, it came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. When they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. But then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand up to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. I remember some years ago, Bonnie was with me in this a city in the Congo, way small, way with had no electricity, with thousands of people in the city called Kisangani, where we had flown in and thousands had gathered, and we saw as I preached on the Behold the Lamb of God. The people started clapping because the little boy who came up with very frail legs, about 14-year-old. And asked the pastor who were translating. And they found out and they told me. And Bonnie was there and she, this little crippled boy had crawled, had been born a cripple. His legs had been just powerless. And as he grew up, they did not work, so he crawled all across on this little handmade cart across the city begging. And those spindly legs. And that afternoon as I preached, early evening, the glory came. Literally, nobody prayed. The glory came. And he got off his cart and started walking towards me, and the supernatural glory of God had recreated his leg and had him walk up there. And so we are seeing it and may that glory be here. And I've seen so many broken people with addiction that the glory comes and they fall on the floor and then they come up, that shadow of darkness and oppression and addiction is gone. Does not matter what messes we have seen, we have what kind of sins we have committed, that the blood is able to take that away. So tonight the Spirit of glory, that fire is here. And I just sense from the beginning that I felt I wanted to share this word with you, that he is making you a carrier, making you, and some of you are going to get different quickenings, your giftings. God wants to set on fire once again. Some of you have kind of yielded, or it's, and I'm not blame anyone, we are often get influenced by some of the negative definitions around us, and suddenly we take that and become discouraged when God had originally called us and commission. You have destiny. And I want to refresh you in your destiny. I want to refresh you and recommission you to go for it, to go for those dreams, to go for those unfulfilled things that you have said you're going to do. Whether you're going to start your own internet company, the glory, the spirit of glory is now. Say now. So I do not want you to hear what I'm saying as history. This is now. Say now, Lord. How many of you can receive that? That's now. Say now, Lord. Raise both your hands and receive. I feel that God wants even tonight to set on fire your dreams, your destiny, your commissioning, your purpose. You as a family, God wants to take away fear, financial fear. The yoke of fear is breaking. God is burning out these yokes. There are people, God is going to set supernatural fire where your bank deposits are going to multiply. That there are things God is opening financially for you, that the debts are canceled because of the anointing. The cancellation of debt load, that supernatural provision is coming to his people. That through that, like he did before, he brought them out with silver and gold. That means debt free. That means in the positive and not in the negative. And receive the promise of the Father. Say, I am receiving by faith the promise of the Father. Hallelujah. Put your hands up. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.